You clock out. We clock in. Welcome to the Torn by Sports Lunch Break.
All right, thanks for tuning in to this episode of the Torn by Sports Lunch Break. With me right now is Nick Baumgartner from MLive.com. He covers the Michigan Wolverines for them. How are you doing today, Nick?
Good, Grant. How are you?
I'm doing swell.
Good.
It's been a busy day.
Sure.
So to start off, you know, after three non-conference games, how are you and Michigan fans feeling about the season?
Well, I'm not sure how the fans are feeling, but I think if they're smart about it, I would say that they've got to feel encouraged by Michigan's improvement. You know, over the first couple of weeks, it hasn't been perfect by any stretch, but I don't think anybody could have or should have predicted that that would be the case. You know, they've made noticeable strides in several areas that were key, including the offensive line being, I guess, the top one since week one. So, you know, it's a new coaching staff, new transition under Jim Harbaugh. It's going to take a little time, but I think 3 or 3 weeks, you can't say that this team's doing anything but trending upward, which is exactly what you want. So I think so far, plenty to be encouraged about.
Okay. I mean, you mentioned that they've had improvement in some areas. What do you think has been their biggest improvement to this point?
Yeah, I think the offensive line. That's the one I usually go back to just because it has struggled so much, you know, over the last couple of years. You know, Michigan in 2013, just two seasons ago, was one of the worst offensive lines in terms of basically across the board. They were one of the worst. I think they were dead last in tackles for loss allowed. They were toward the bottom nationally in yards per carry on the ground. They were just – you know, basically a mess. And then last year they were maybe average at best. And then moving into this year, it seems like a lot's clicked for them and they're improving. So they're sort of picking themselves up and moving forward, which is always important under the Jim Harbaugh system. And that was the biggest thing. They had to get the offensive line fixed. And while I don't know if it's totally fixed, it seems like it's on its way. So I think that's the most important part. And that's the group that's made the biggest strides.
Okay. I mean, so, you know, the BYU's coming into the big house this weekend, having already won at Nebraska and had held a really good UCLA game to close one in the Rose Bowl. How much do you think the atmosphere at the big house will affect this game?
You know, I doubt it'll be. I can't say that it'll intimidate BYU. I mean, they just played in the Rose Bowl, you know, last week, and the Rose Bowl isn't anything to sniff at. Michigan Stadium's bigger, but not by much. I mean, when you're in 100,000 seat venues, you're basically splitting hairs. So I think that, you know, BYU having played on the road at Nebraska, which is I've been there before. That's a very raucous environment. Winning a game, I think that speaks a lot. And then having gone to UCLA and nearly pulling off a win in another intense environment, you know, I mean, normally I would say that it does play a factor, but, you know, for this team, I'm not so sure because BYU has, you know, had some real big time road tests so far. And though they lost to UCLA, you know, put up a good effort and beat Nebraska. So I would think they'd be ready for it.
Okay. I mean, with outside of that home field, I mean, do you see Michigan with any clear advantages in this game?
You know, I'm not sure about clear. I wonder how BYU's offensive line will be able to hold up against Michigan's defensive line. I know BYU struggled in pass protection. And that's been, I think, the main issue, maybe the biggest issue on their offense, which otherwise has been pretty darn good. Michigan's defensive line is one of the best in the country, getting into the backfield and making plays. So I wonder, you know, how they hold up there. And then on the other side of the ball, I also wonder how, you know, having, UCLA ran the ball pretty easily last week against BYU. I wonder if, you know, over the course of four quarters, if BYU can hold on, against Michigan's rush attack. And I think that, you know, I just keep going back to the fact that BYU's played this just, you know, extremely tough schedule over 4 weeks. And I keep wondering if that's going to catch up with them, especially, you know, they haven't had any breaks. Another big road game here. And I got to wonder if mental fatigue might be on Michigan's side as well.
That's an interesting point, mental fatigue. I mean, do you think the more susceptible player to mental fatigue, maybe riding this high for so long, would be the freshman quarterback from BYU, Tanner Mangum. You know, their pass attack has been pretty vaunted with him and their towering quarterback, or wide receivers, excuse me.
Mm-hmm.
How do you think Michigan will try to stop them in their pass game.
Well, I think that the book so far anyway on Mangum, it's only basically two games and a quarter long, so it's not much film, but I think the book so far has been to try to keep him inside, try not to let him leave the pocket, you know, make him stand in the pocket and make throws with guys coming out of space. I think the, you know, overall inexperience of playing against live bullets like that, if you can keep a guy that wants to roll out inside and sort of make him make decisions in that pocket, I think it benefits you as a defense. So I think that'll be the biggest goal. And then, you know, the other one would be just don't, you know, cover for longer, because when he does get outside of the pocket, and it'll happen. I mean, they won't keep him in every single time, but when he does get outside, you know, you got to stay on your guy. A lot of BYU's big plays have been, you know, I don't want to say they're broken plays, but they've been the result of, you know, Mangum kind of buying more time, a little bit like Ben Roethlisberger's done for years in the NFL, where he can get out of the pocket, buy some more time, his receivers have more time to break off their routes. And then it creates a big play. So I think that those two things, keeping him inside, in the pocket, and then your defensive backs have to make sure they cover until they hear a whistle, you know, cover through the whistle, so to speak, and not give up on anything.
Okay. I mean, speaking of quarterbacks, we'll go to Michigan now with Ruddock at the starting spot. And, I mean, I was intrigued to see Coach Harbaugh said it isn't even close, that he's the starter. I mean, what do you expect from him this week? Do you expect to see a little bit even more improvement from Michigan at the passing game?
Well, yeah, that's the biggest question. You know, I mean, it was never a question whether or not he was the starter. He was going to be the guy the whole time. The biggest question really is, you know, where's the timing? Have they had time to sort of develop more of that this week? Because that's been the biggest problem. You know, they haven't been able to get chunk plays down the field because of the, you know, the communication, so to speak, in game, not in the huddle, but necessarily in play, between Ruddock and his receivers just doesn't seem to be there yet. You know, it's only been three games. They don't quite have that mastered. So, you know, you wonder how long that's going to take. And for a game like this, where I think you're going to need, you know, to be able to stretch it a little bit and get some chunk plays, it's got to be there. You know, if it's not there, Michigan's going to have a hard time, you know, securing the football game. So for Michigan State, I'm sure they hope it's there. You know, it'll be four games in at this point. You've had a month basically to work those kinks out. So I would think that it'd be, you know, we start to see improvements this week, and if they don't, then I think that's, you know, kind of a problem.
Okay. Now, most of our listeners that are going to listen to this podcast are going to be BYU fans. I'm wondering if you could give them a player that most BYU fans have not heard of that they should be keeping an eye out for.
Yeah, I'll give you two. Chris Wormley is a defensive tackle, defensive end, who is in the top five, top 10 tackles for loss in the season. He's got seven tackles for loss so far this year. He was very good against Utah, so maybe they have heard of him. So, you know, he's been very consistent. He's been their best defensive lineman so far this season, and he's been a pretty explosive player. And then the other guy that sort of gets lost in the shuffle sometimes that shouldn't is Jordan Lewis, Michigan's best cover corner. Jabril Peppers gets a lot of attention for his athleticism, and rightfully so. He's a great athlete. But Lewis is, you know, in terms of coverage, and everything else, I would expect Jordan Lewis to be matched up against BYU's best receiver for most of the game. He'll give up some size, but, you know, don't let that fool you, because he's usually done a pretty good job over his career of covering guys bigger than him. He's only 5'10", but he's held on pretty good against 6'4", 6'5", guys over the years. So even if he gets matched up against a big guy, I would think it'd be a battle. So those are two guys that I would say, you know, to watch for on Saturday.
All right. Do you have any final thoughts on the game and a prediction for us?
I think it'll be a good one. You know, I think for Michigan, it's a real big test. It's a measuring stick game, so to speak, and it'll give them a chance to sort of see where they're at heading into Big Ten play. And for BYU, I think it's also a really big game, because if you can get through that horrifying non-conference schedule 3-1, I would think that does a ton of confidence for your program. But at the same time, I just keep going back to the fact that BYU's got to come across the country after three really rugged games, play at noon in Eastern time zone. Michigan's had two pretty easy games, all those things factoring, and I think Michigan gets a close one. I think it's a close football game right to the end, but I'll take Michigan by a field goal right about where that spread's at. But I wouldn't be surprised either way. I could see BYU winning it because I think they're a very good football team and they certainly have a shot. So I'm excited. It should be a fun game.
Yeah, no, I think you're right. It should be a really entertaining game. I think BYU fans who have been dealing with their heart health in all these close games are going to have to continue to do so with this one. finally, you know, we call this podcast the Torn by Sports Lunch Break. So I'm wondering, what is your favorite thing to do for lunch?
Favorite thing for lunch? Oh, I guess it depends, really, if I have time. You know, my favorite lunch, I'll be honest, this is an old sports writer thing. My favorite lunch is a free lunch, which means we get free lunches on it. We'll get free lunches in the box at games, and then sometimes we get they'll give us free lunch if we have a big day of media stuff or something like that. So I'll go with my lunch is a free lunch, and whatever that free food is good by me.
All right. Well, thanks for joining us, Nick. If our listeners want to follow you and get some more content by you, where can they find you?
Easy on Twitter, at Nick Baumgartner, NickBaumgartner.
All right. Well, thanks again, Nick, and hopefully it's a good game on Saturday.
All right, Grant, no problem.
This has been a Torn by Sports production.